Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we will complete the sugya from last week quickly, just to finish off the plot. We left off by smicha, hakol semchim. What's that coming to be? Marva, the Gemara says, la suya yoresh, to loy karab Yehuda. Rabbi Yudol's yoresh does not do smicha. Hakol mamirim. Sanya, Yerush Shemech, Yerush Memer, Yerush could do smich or tmura. Rav Yehuda says a Yerush does not do smich and does not do tmura. Any Shemech, any Memer. My time in Rav Yehuda says korbonoi, and it excludes korbanoviv, like korbanoviv. And once we know that you don't do smicha, yolif tchila sektish, misayf sektish, just like at the end when you're bringing the korban, the Yerush doesn't do smicha, that's called seif sektish. Yerush and Esemech, Avtchilas Hekdesh, Yerush and Emeimer. To enact Hekdesh, to activate it, he also can't. For Abonon, they do it the reverse. Homer Yomer is L'Rabbi Sayerish. If Yalfin and Seif Hekdesh, Metchilas Hekdesh. Matchilas Hekdesh, Yerush Meimer, Av Seif Hekdesh, Yerush Meimer. That's the Rabbonon's Drasha. Okay, so we had a lengthy discussion. We're learning T'mur on this Gemara. So I'm not going to reiterate it. You can look it up on the shiurim. It's categorized in this in Tmuran Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Just a small point to bring out here is that it's difficult to understand what Yerush we're talking about here, because technically there is no such a thing as a Yerush of Kotshim, because it's not the person's money. In other words, a Yerusha is only on somebody's nechosa. Somebody has personal properties. There's a din of Yerusha. And there's all kinds of tenoim of Yerusha. Has to be a dover sheyesh per mamish. Can yarshin a concept? You have to yarshin a liquid asset. A b'chor, it has to be even in the reshus of his father to get bishnayim. Even if it's a choiv or something else. So there are halachas of Yerusha. And actually, the Tosfos HaRit in Psochim, in Daf Tzariches, he says black and white that you cannot yarshin a korban. It's not a, it doesn't belong to somebody to really give it over to Yerusha, as far as on a monetary level. So you have to know what it means here, Yerush. What does the Yerush mean, Bechlal? So if you look here in the Rabbeinu Gershon, when he talks about Yerush Meimer, Yerush Semech, so Rashi just says Yerush means an Odom, Shehifrish Aviv Korban, Velo Hispik La'akrivoy Ad Shemes. That's Rashi. Rashi says they didn't bring the Korban until he died, so Rashi's ambiguous. Rashi doesn't say exactly when the person died. Rashi just said he died before the Akrov. Could be any time from when the father was makdish it until they brought it on the Mizbeach. That's a big window Rashi left open. But if you look in Rabbeinu Gershon, when he talks about Yerush, listen to this. He says, Yerush Semech Meimir, Sheim Hikdish Aviv Zevach, if the father was makdish a Zevach, Umeis Koidem Shesomach Olav, and he died before doing Smich. So Rabbeinu Gershon is very clear that if the father would have done smicha, then even according to the Chachamim, we wouldn't do smicha. And it's very difficult. I mean, actually, it is difficult. Rabbeinu Gershon, I think, answers pshat in the whole Gemara. But it seems very difficult what he's saying. He seems to be saying that the father did smicha on the korban. Now the korban doesn't need smicha because we say, listen, the korban had smicha already. Yeah, by the wrong person. That person is gone. That person is not the person who's bringing the korban. We have the new person in town here, the Yerush. And the Yerush never did smicha. And this, the Reb David brings down this as well, this issue with the Rabbeinu Gershon. And of course, he brings a brisket type of idea that every korban, there's two dinim. יש שתי דינים בסמיכה. There's a din mitzar ha-korban and mitzar ha-baila. And therefore, this korban, als the korban, it had smicha already. Even though the bailam didn't do smicha, because the new owner in town didn't do smicha, but the animal had smicha. The fact that the animal had smicha, so the korban had smicha. And then he says, if that's the case, he says, Rabbeinu Gershon says, the oviv somach lefnei misosev in iskayim bo din smicha b'korban. Anyway, so he brings out this point that this problem with Rabbeinu Gershon. I think well, you have to know, even though there's a din of tekev l'smicha shchita, if you didn't do that, if you delayed the shchita, you still wouldn't need to do smicha again. That's when you're supposed to do smicha. That's, so here there was a hefsek, but so what? Once the smicha was done, it was done. No, because in order for it to have a shem smicha, the bailam have to do smicha. But once the bailam did smicha, it's a qualified smicha. Now the smicha is installed. So now this animal is an animal post smicha. It's like it's a medical chart. This animal has been, it has an immunization. It has a smicha done to it. It's a difficult concept. It has a smicha done. I think that actually the question that we're asking from the Tosfos Rid, that l'chayre there's no Yerusha by a carbon, is really the answer. This Rabbeinu Gershon is really answering that question. In the long and short of it, when we were learning Tmura, we developed a whole machshava on Yerusha, what Yerusha is. And I'll just tell you what the conclusion was. The conclusion was that there are two ways to view Yerusha. One way to view Yerusha is that the Torah went and said that if you have an estate, so the closest relative, that the Torah views as the closest relative, now acquires this estate as a kinyan. Just like there's a kinyan called Meshicha, Hagbah, there's a new kinyan, it's called Kinyan Yerusha. And by you being a Yerush, it's a passive kinyan, it's not an active kinyan, but by you being a Yerush, you acquire those monies. So it's really like a monetary transfer. That's one way to look at Yerusha. Like any kinyan. The other way to look at Yerusha is a little bit more creative, but it seems the Rishonim understood it that way. And that is that the fact that the Yerush gets the money, that's almost secondary. That's step two. Step one is that the Yerush is a continuity of the mace. He's kom bimkoim hames. The Yerush, in other words, what the Torah basically says is that the person didn't really die. He died, I mean, his wife, his mutter, but now he is represented in this person. Oh, so now the person comes in, he says, listen, till now Reuven owned the money, I'm now representing Reuven. So his schus in the Nechosim is because he represents the mace. He is a hemshech, he's a continuation of the mace. If you look at the Ramban in the beginning of Yesh Noichlim, and really the whole sugya in Yesh Noichlim, it points to that direction. The Gemara there has a discussion, why does a son yarshen the father before the uncle, before the father's brother? The father's brother should have kedima. And the Gemara says, why? Because the father's brother does yibum in his place. And the Gemara holds this as a pircha. Why does the son get the money? The brother should get the money. What do you mean the brother should get the money? What kind of cash is that? The Teretz is, the Gemara is saying that Yerusha is based on the person who's representing the maize. And if the brother in Yibum represents the maize, so now he should be the one to get the money. The money is almost secondary. You represent the maize, you get the money. You have to represent the maize. And the Gemara's only answer to that question is no. Klum yesh Yibum ela b'mokoyim she'ein bein. The Gemara is saying, no, when the son is here, he represents his father. That's why there's no Yibum. He's such a good representer of his father that he don't need Yibam Bechlal. But that's what it is. It's what we call Kam Tachtav. And the whole Gemara goes with that those ideas. The Gemara says that a son comes in his father's place to redeem a Steyachuzah, which we're going to learn in Erechin about. He goes in his father's place. He's thinking, if that's the case, so it's true that the Yerush can't inherit the carbon as a monetary item, but he represents his father in the bringing of that carbon. He's in his father's place. So when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the carbon, he's not bringing it as a monetary thing. He's bringing it as a representer of the mess. That being the case, he absolutely takes into account what his father did. That's why Rabbeinu Gershon said, Meis Aviv Koidim Smicha. Because if his father did Smicha, so he's representing his father who already did Smicha. There's no reason for him to do Smicha again. His whole right over here is that he's representing his father. He's continuing. It's a continuity to what was here before. And that's why Rabbeinu Gershon stresses this point of Koidim Shekriva. He could. Absolutely. Rabbeinu Gershon says he only has to do Smicha if his father didn't do Smicha yet. If his father already did Smicha, there's no reason for him to do Smicha. He's continuing. It's not a new owner in town. It's the old owner. It's a hamshocha. It's a continuation. So if the father did smicha already, so the smicha was done. Okay. So the Gemara. Now, what did the Rabbanan do with the homer yomer? With the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, karbonai that excluded the Yerush? Hi karbonai mi boy le karbonai v'loy karbonai v'kichovim. Korbonon v'le korban chaveroi, and korbonoi le rabbis kol bali chayvim l'smicha. So they use the psukim for different things. Says the Gemara in Rabbi Yehuda, he holds you don't need a pasuk because he holds that le rabbis kol bali chayvim l'smicha lesle. If a bunch of people have a shutfus in a korban, they don't all have to do smicha. Here's a machlokes rishonim. Some learn nobody has to do smicha, and some learn one represents the whole chabura. But he doesn't know that each individual needs to do smicha. Vinami islay, or the kechavim v'chaveri mechad kronovki, you can learn out of one pasuk that you don't do smicha for the other person. Ayatra le trei, chad korbonai v'loi korbanoviv, v'idach l'rabbis kol bali chavim l'smicha. Okay. So now what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the Rabbonon's ribuy of Homer Yomer? For Rabbonon ha-yomer, Homer Yomer my ovile, v'boi le l'rabbis ha-seish. To include a woman in Tmura, because the Sanya we learned in the Brisa, Lefisha Koloinion, Eina Medaber, Ela Beloshan Zohar, it's talking about Beloshan Zohar. Masay Feinu L'Rabbe, says Aisha. How do we know a woman is in the Parsha of Tmura? Tamad Loimah V'im Homer Yomer. For Abonon May V'im, they learn out of the V'im. For Abiyud V'im Loi Darish. Okay. Starting out a sugi here of Chinuch. So, the Gemara starts off with Sukkah. Chiyuv Chinuch by Sukkah. And then the Gemara develops from there the rest of continuation of Chinuch by other mitzvahs. So, but Chinuch is actually, Sukkah is actually very revealing. And that's the brisker of that I asked you to look up, which we're going to discuss. Because Sukkah may give us a better understanding of the whole Chiyuv of Chinuch. The Gemara starts by saying, Hakol chayavim besukkah la'asuyei mai. What does it include? It's coming la'asuyei cotton. A cotton. What kind of cotton? She'en etzorech li'imai. A cotton that doesn't need his mother. A cotton that doesn't need his mother, that's not korech acharimai. The Gemara in Sukkah qualifies exactly what it means. He needs his mother. He calls his mother, wakes up, he says, Ima, this nan, cotton she'en etzorech li'imai, chayav besukkah. A cotton that doesn't need his mother is chayav in the sukkah. Okay, now why should he not be chayav before that age? The uniqueness of sukkah is that the other mitzvahs that the Gemara is going to bring here are practical, mechanical almost. Let's read through the other examples. Lulav. Hakol chayavin belulav. Again, the Tana uses a lashon. Everybody's chayav in lulav. What does that mean? Lasuye mai. Lasuye koton hayodeya lenanea. So that's a mechanical issue. If he doesn't know how to shake, so he can't do the mitzvah, or he can't do the mitzvah completely. I mean, really, he yotzei the mitzvah by picking it up, but he can't do the mitzvah with all its branches. Which actually, the Chaim Prisk Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he actually understood from this sugya that shaking is actually part of the actual mitzvah. Otherwise, how could it be a chinuch requirement if ninua is just up as a nice Indian? It's not part of the mitzvah. The Brisker Rav brought another raya. His son, Reb Chaim's son, brought another raya. So the fact is that we see that the shear of the lulav, the actual size of the lulav, has to be large enough to accommodate ninua. And if ninua is not part of the mitzvah, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Sukkah, when it talks about the shear lulav, it adds a tanai, it has to be kedei l'naneya. Now, whenever we have a shear by a mitzvah, the shear reflects an inherent aspect of the mitzvah. So he says, from the fact that you see that the lulav needs that shear of kedei l'naneya, so it shows that it's part of the mitzvah itself. So we'll get back to this, but al kaponim, it's a mechanical issue. He's old enough to shake it to be moilach and mevi. He's not old enough to be moilach and mevi. That's simple. Goes on to say, tzitzis, hakol chayav mitzitzis. Asu yekot na yodei al isatif. He knows how to be ma'atif. There also, even though you don't need itif to be chayav in the mitzvah. But that's the, let's call it the idealistic way to do the mitzvah. So we wait for that age. Tzitzan yekot na yodei al isatif chayav mitzitzis. Hakol chayav mitzvim. Lasu yemai. Lasu yekot na yodei al ishmur tzitzis. A kotnu knows how to watch his tefillin. Here also, it may not be mechanical to the maisa mitzvah, but it's mechanical to the tanai of the mitzvah. The tanai of this mitzvah is, you have to have a guf noki. Even a godel who doesn't have a guf noki can't put on tefillin. So therefore, if the kotnu is not able to clean and to be properly clean for the mitzvah, so he's mechanically not worthy to do the mitzvah. Hakol Chayav Maria. Okay, then we go into Chatziyav and Chatziyav Ben Chorin, which we read through the sugi last week, 2 weeks ago rather. And that's what it says. And then the last example of the Gemara is Tkir Shofar. And there it just uses a general phrase, La'asuyeh kotn shigir l'chinuch tisnan, ein ma'akvin asat kotn miliskoa beyomtev. Okay. So that means there is a generic, even a mitzvah, that doesn't have a mechanical component, there's a generic chinuch age. That's what seems to be the end of the Gemara. Or is the Gemara saying, there's mechanical components, which means physical components that the katan should be able to perform the mitzvah properly. And then there's a conceptual higil chinuch, das, some minimum, even though Midat Torah doesn't have das yet, but some minimum requirement of das. And that's what Rashi says, if you look at the bottom Rashi, שהגיעה לחינוך פלוקתי בפרק בסרה דיומו, חד אמר כבר שיס, כבר שבע, וחד אמר כבר תשע, כבר עשר. שמחן חינוי סן לשוי. Anyway, so there are even mitzvahs that don't require an action, they require some basic understanding. Some say actually this shear would actually be the umbrella for all of the mitzvahs that we discussed. And these other conditions are sub-conditions within the framework of a katan shigia l'chinuch. That means if you hold a katan less than 7 is not chayiv in chinuch, so then even though he's yodei l'naneya, he wouldn't be chayiv. Which would seem to be logical. It would seem to be that just because the mitzvah has a practical component that we have to worry about, it shouldn't diminish the fact that we need a higil l'chinuch of some minimum das. It makes sense that we need that. So this is something, maybe we get a chance in the future, we'll discuss, we have more sugyas of cotton, that maybe chinuch may range in age in different mitzvahs. There may be a different understanding of each mitzvah. There may be mitzvahs that don't require chinuch at all. L'mashal, the Rambam says in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that a cotton that knows how to eat it, that can eat a kazayas matzah, machil noisei, we give him to eat the matzah. The Rambam seems to be saying we don't need any kind of das at all by there. So, The most simplistic way to get around the Rambam is to say, well, by a mitzvah of achila, you don't need das. Even if a godel eats matzah without kavana, he's yotze. And therefore the katan also is of the age. But that's difficult. It's very difficult to make an analogy to that, because a godel that's eating the mitzvah, matzah, l'shem hanoah, he's still a bar deya. He's a bar deya. L'mosha misasik b'mitzvah, a person doesn't know what they're doing b'chlal, it's potter for mitzvahs. Happens to be that kavonu l'mitzvah means I'm being b'chavim to be yotze the mitzvah. So there's a din that if it's a food, if it's eating, so many rishonim hold you don't need to have kavona, because since you're having hanoah, it connects to what you're doing, even though you're not actually having kavona. But you're still a bardas. To say that when you have an achila, you don't need a bardas, that's not the case, because we know the halacha is that if you ate matzah while you were a barashatya, a person, let's say, who has hallucinations, and sometimes goes into a schizophrenia or whatever, at the time that he was eating the matzah was not a bardas, he's not yotze. Even though he ate the matzah without kavona, he would be yotze. So to make an analogy and say that by matzah we don't care about das of the cotton at all, because he's eating, not so posh. But al kaponim, the flow of the Gemara pretty much from the beginning until the end is telling us that there are mechanical, we only mechanach a kid when he can do the mitzvah properly, the ma'aseh mitzvah. But the first component, the Gemara said by sukkah, there the Gemara seems to be saying something even where he could mechanically do the mitzvah. He needs his mother to mechanically do the mitzvah. The Levush tries to make this into a mechanical requirement also. He wants to make the whole Gemara be one pattern. The Levush in Hilchas Sukkah, the Levush says that since the child is Korach Achar Imai, he's always after his mother, he's constantly with his mother, and his mother is Potter from Sukkah, so she doesn't have to be in the Sukkah. So she doesn't have to be in the Sukkah, he doesn't have to be in the Sukkah, because he can't really do the mitzvah, because he can't really, it's not Negeah. Not Negeah for him to do the mitzvah, because he's with his mother, and his mother is not in the Akon Shetzarach Limai to do other mitzvahs. Not a problem, because mother and father are together. But sukkah, the man is in the sukkah. The wife is out of the sukkah. The kid is korach after his mother. It's, again, a practical component. According to Levush, we have a practical component. We can't get him into the sukkah. We can't physically get him into the sukkah. So it's also practical. But definitely, that's a very big chiddush what the Levush is saying. Very big chiddush. For various reasons. For various reasons. I'll tell you one simple question off the top, off the cuff. There's a machloikas rishonim if the chi of chinuch is on the father only, or it's on both. Rashi grada in many places in Shas says yitiluch achomim al ovi val imoi kedei lechanchei b'mitzvahs. He says it on his pirush on the Rif in several places, and he says it in the beginning of Meseches Chagiga, the first Mishnah in Chagiga, where the Mishnah talks about chinuch. Rashi over there says, "Hitilu chachomim al ovi val imoi kedei lechanchei b'mitzvahs." They were machayev, the father, mother, machanachim to do mitzvahs. That's what he says, black and white. So, over there it says clearly, it's true that there's a Gemara in Nozir and Daf Chof Tes, where the Gemara says that ish chayev lechanaches b'noi b'mitzvahs, veina ish chayeves lechanaches b'noi b'mitzvahs. Seems to say otherwise. So, there are different ways to get around this problem. The most basic one is to say that if there's a father, the father has to be mechanach. And the mother's potter. You don't need two people being mechanach. If the father is not available, the mother is. Father and mother both share this mitzvah. If there's a father, he's the one that does the mitzvah. If not, the mother takes over. That answers all the contradictions. Because the Gemara in Sukkah, on Dav Beis Omid Beis, says that Hilni Amalka was mechanach the children to be in the Sukkah. The Gemara says Hilni Amalka wouldn't have let her children out of the Sukkah because of chinuch. So the Achroinim ask, what do you mean? I thought a mother is potter from chinuch. So one of the most simple answers is that Hilni Amalka, she was the only person available to do chinuch. So she did it herself. If there's a father available, then he does the chinuch. He has first. The Netziv Mivaloshin has a very creative approach. He says there's different types of chinuch. He says, chinuch, to do the actual mitzvahs, is father and mother. Both have to be mechanech. He says, when it's a question of being mechanech a trial to things which are not part of the components of obligation, so it's more like an assessment you have to make, is this kid, should he do this? Okay? So Lamoshal, over there, the Gemara is talking about nozir. You could live a life of 120 years and never become a nozir and be a very good Jew. One man Dalma says a nozir is a choyte, a nozir tome, a nozir toh. So naziris is not something you have to train a kid to do. It's Tosefes Kedusha. So the father who's in tune with his son's level and learning and understanding and characteristics, spiritual characteristics, see, he is the one who has to be Mechanicha's kid for naziris. The mother doesn't have to do that. But Shabbos, mitzvahs, the mother has to be Mechanicha too. That's his approach to mitzvah. It's a very interesting approach, but that's the way he understands it. So, either way, for us to go and say now that the mother, the reason why the kid is potter is because the mother is potter, well, according to, we should reverse it and say, well, you know what? Since the kid can be mechunach, the mother must take him into the sukkah. She's potter from sukkah. So what? She's chayef to be mechanach him in all the other mitzvahs. The mother is chayev mechanachim in other mitzvahs, so she should be chayev to be mechanachim in this too. So the Levush says, well, she's not in the sukkah, so he's not in the sukkah. How does that work? Why in the world would that be the case? In fact, the Rashi in Chagiga is actually talking about a mitzvah she's brought her from. Re'iyah. Rashi and Chagig is talking about a mitzvah that the woman is potter from, to be a little rega. But she has to be machanach the son. It could actually be, that's why Rashi is found in Chagig, to tell you not like Shmuel Bell. Nothing against you, Chas V'Shem. So why did Rashi pick Chagig? There's so many sugis of chinuch. By Chagig, Rashi says, Hitilu chachomim alovi v'alimoy. Don't make a mistake to think that a mitzvah that you're not machuiv, not machanach. You don't have a machanach. So he says, no, but what I'm saying is, if the mother is taka chayiv and chinuch, so she should have a chayiv to taka be in sukkah als chinuch. If the mother is chayiv to be mechanach a son in Talmud Torah, what does that mean? She has to do like chana, bring him to yeshiva. Yeah? She doesn't say, well, I'm potter from Talmud Torah, but I'm chayiv to be mechanach my son. So I will be wherever my chinuch pulls me. Right? So I'm potter from sukkah, tfei dinim. I'm potter from sukkah. But al chinuch, I have to go in. I'll tell you on the side, there was a maisa with Reb Chaim Eizer Grzenski. It was sukkahs. And they had guests. And he told his wife, he's potter from sukkah. He was mitzvah, he was sick, he was potter from sukkah. So she set up for him in the house. And all of a sudden, everybody's in the sukkah. Reb Chaim comes out. Reb Chaim Eizer comes out in the sukkah and he starts eating in the sukkah. So his wife tells him what's going on. He said, Mitztayer is potter in our sukkah, but he's not potter from Achnasas Ochel. So since the guests are in the sukkah, I'm not coming in al mitzvah sukkah, I'm coming in al Achnasas Ochel. Probably he didn't make a leishim with sukkah. He can't make a leishim with sukkah on Achnasas Ochel. But he came into the sukkah. So if the woman is chayiv and chinuch, assuming that the woman is chayiv and chinuch, and the son is a gil chinuch to be in the sukkah, so now she should be in the sukkah too. Any woman that has a cotton that's a gil chinuch that belongs in the sukkah, she should be there also. Mecha teza, she could say, you know what, I'm potter from this mitzvah, so I'm staying in the house. Mecha teza. There's a whole tumult in bechlal with a woman. If she's allowed to stay in the house, why don't we say a woman has to come in the sukkah for the husband's chiv? The Gemara has a whole shakla v'taria, that I would think a woman is chayiv in sukkah al teishu came to do madira ish v'ishtay av sukkah ish v'ishtay. So many of the achronim, the hamakta talks about this in Kedushin. Why don't we say a woman should have to go in the sukkah not for her own obligation, to enhance her husband's obligation. Her husband has a chayiv to live in the sukkah. In other words, the Ramo brings down one of the coolest of sleeping in the house is that your wife is not there. So why don't we say fakir? The wife should go out, that the husband should be chayiv. So there you could say, well, the woman doesn't have a chayiv chinuch on her husband. Even though today they do a pretty good job, but a woman doesn't have a chayiv chinuch. You know how many people I know that before the chasna they didn't daven tefillah b'tzibur, they didn't go, they got married and somebody was mechanech them. It works. But there's no chayiv. There's no chayiv chinuch habal, there's no chayiv. Right? So, but by sukkah there is. The woman has a chayiv chinuch, so she should have to. So it's a big chiddush, the levush. It's a very big chiddush. So the Briskerov comes with a very, very creative idea. The Briskerov over here in the stencil. And he says, achap, that the reason why the cotton is potter is because he's a mitztaya. Cotton shein sorach li'imoy chayiv besukah, says the Briskerov, yesh loymar dehu shir bedin chinuch, dekesheena itzorach li'imoy, Oz cholalov hachiyuv the chinuch b'mitzvah suk. It's chal on him the chiyuv of chinuch mitzvah suk. And therefore, omnam ikur adova amavur b'zanira, kivon de le'inyan chinuch b'mitzvahs, hare b'inon she'e chozi l'kiyum ha-mitzvah. He has to be able to do the mitzvah. Therefore, k'moy d'amrinan gabi lulav, koton ha-yodeya l'naneya, the koton has to know how to shake the lulav. V'chein gabi tzitzis, koton ha-yodeya l'is atev. וכיוון דבגוד לעצמו הרי מצטייר פוטו ממצווה סוכה, אם כן הוא אדין קוטון, כשצורך לאימוי הרי הוא מצטייר, ואינו אירוי לקיום המצווה. It's a tremendous chiddush, the Briskerov. ומתם זה, לא יכול עליו חיובו דמצווה סוכה, דחשב שאין אירוי לקיום המצווה. It's a tremendous chiddush. Since he's מצטייר without his mother, so he's considered a not roy to do the mitzvah. Vishuv, this is the clincher. Af she imoy, even though his mother is imoy with him, but it's parted from sukkah. The kivon deloy chozi lekiyum mitzvah lekol of chiv klal. The bchiagav the mitzvah beloy imikiloy chozi lemitzvah. That last knesh is a tremendous chiddush. The first part of the Briskerov. There was a chassidish rov that said the same thing like the Briskerov. There's a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shavah. In his tshuva on Sukkah, he says the same idea as the Briskerov. He says that a kotel shetzorach li'imoy is a mitzdayer to be in the Sukkah. He's not worried to do the mitzvah. The last thing that the Briskerov is saying is a tremendous chiddush. Therefore, even when he's not a mitzdayer, he's potter. That's a tremendous chiddush. We don't find that there's such a thing called a person who inherently is a mitztaya. He's a mitztaya if he doesn't have his mother. If his mother's there, he's not a mitztaya. The Briskerov is properly addressing why doesn't the father have to bring him in the sukkah when the mother is not there. That makes a lot of sense. He's mitztaya. He's sitting there looking for his mother. So he's mitztaya potam in a sukkah. But why exactly, because without his mother he'd be a mitztaya? So now we look, now when he's not a mitztayer, he's also potter mitztayer. I mean, what would you be if you have somebody who's generally a mitztayer because he gets pitzar from many different issues? He's an istinus. If you look at the Gemara and Sukkah, we see that an istinus is also mitztayer, potter min ha-sukkah. And it happens to be one day he feels good for some reason. Today he feels comfortable in the sukkah. Usually he doesn't. So we don't say, well, since normally you don't feel your bitzar from the sukkah, so now also. But it goes beyond that. According to the Briskerov, I have a very big kasha. Why the first night of sukkah don't you have a chiv to be mechanech the son to go in the sukkah? Many we show him all the first night, even a mitztayer is chayv in sukkah. So if Taka the Briskerov is telling us that really we would be mechanech the child, the only reason why we're not is because he's in pain. The mitztayer is potter. But what about the component of sukkah that doesn't require that you should be not mitztayer? The first night, mitztayer is chayv in sukkah. So then if that's the case, there should be chinuch on that too. Chinuch on the first night in the sukkah. It's not logical to say, well, since there's no chinuch for the rest of the week, since there's no chinuch for the first night, mechtes. So this is really a very big chiddush. The Briskerov then goes into ninua, and he talks about what we discussed, as far as whether ninua is part of the mitzvah, not part of the mitzvah. So I think in order to have better clarity in this, we have to understand what is chinuch. What is the chiyuv of chinuch? So there are different ways to understand what is chinuch. What is the chiyuv of chinuch? There's definitely the simple way to learn chinuch. And then there's a more creative way to learn chinuch. And each one has its merits in the sugyas hashas to understand it. The simple way to learn chinuch is that, like Rashi says, hitilu chachovim al aviv al imoy lechanchei b'mitzvahs. The father and or the father and mother have a chiyuv to train the child to do mitzvahs. So it's a training mitzvah. And the training mitzvah is on the father and mother. They have a chiyuv to put him, to mechayev him in mitzvahs. That's definitely, I think, how anybody off the cuff, if you ask somebody a shayla, what's chinuch? It's a chiyuv on the father, mechanech his son, to do mitzvahs. It's poshut. And even the lashonis of the Gemara in the Shas. The Gemara says, ha'ish chayev mechanech his b'nei b'mitzvahs. It's poshut, that's the way you would learn it. The problem with learning that simple way is several points, several problems. One is that if that's the case, a katan really is not mechuyev in mitzvahs at all. There's somebody out there that's chayev to train him. He's not. Is the katan chayev in mitzvahs? No, zero. He has no chayev mitzvahs. There are people out there that have a chayev to train him to do a mitzvah. Right? So what's it's not so bad? So you can learn that way, right? So the katan has no obligation. The problem we have is that there are several sugyas hashas that spell out that that's not the case. That seem to say clear that there is an absolute chiv on the child. Because if we're going to learn that the child has no chiv, what it really means is that when the child picks up a lulav, right, he's not doing mitzvah's lulav. He's really doing no mitzvah at all. Midrabbanan, he's doing zero. Midrabbanan, his father, is being mekayim a mitzvah of chinuch. And therefore, if the son picks up lulav, or he eats matzah, or he fasts on Yom Kippur, any mitzvah the katan does, it's always one mitzvah, it's the same mitzvah. The mitzvah is chinuch. Because there's no chiyuv on the katan, there's a chiyuv on the father to train him. So the father trains him to do mitzvahs. So technically, every mitzvah now becomes the same. Every mitzvah is kedei lechanchei b'mitzvahs. Every single mitzvah is kedei lechanchei. And the father is being mekayim, his training mitzvah. Mitzvah, that's called, this mitzvah, mitzvah schinuch, train him. The father is training. And that's when he's being mekayim a mitzvah. So how in the world could the Gemara say that a katan could be mitzi somebody? On any level, the katan is a zero obligation. A woman cannot be moitzi a man on a mitzvah asei shazman gromit, unless by Megillah is a machlokes rishonim, by Kiddush she's chayev, by Hanukkah she's chayev, but if a woman is not chayev in a mitzvah, she can't be moitzi you. Right? So how could it be that a katan could be moitzi anybody? It's a pela nifla. Well, we'll get to that. That's the step two. My first step is so Rashi, if you look in the Ma'am Mekoymus and Brochus, Rashi says clearly that it's not on the cotton. Black and white. Michiocho Kazayas Dogon Mihimapik, a cotton when he ate it, a Kazayas, he could be Moitzi his father. Apple Gav, the Kazayas Dogon Shiur de Rabbonano. Even though Kazayas Dogon is a sheer drabonon, kidoma beperek mishemesa, miu kiven the mechayev midrabonon, mechuyev karinenbe, mechuyev bedova karinenbe, umoitzi rabbi midechevos. Vim toima abekotten shigil chinuchol yomahoche, hau afil midrabonon le mechayev, ta'alei diavu hu durami le chinuche. So Rashi points this out, that a katan shigia lechinuch, really, it's not even his obligation at all. It's only his father's obligation. Rashi doesn't address this. He brings it up, but he doesn't address it how it works. Tosfos argues with Rashi. Tosfos says it can't be. He brings down Rashi's pshat. And then if you look on Amud Beis, Memches Amud Beis, so he says like this, the second line in Tosfos, for Koshe, Lepirusha, Mikomokan, Kivon She'enu Minat Toiro, Enu Moitzei Acherim She'mechuyivon. Ve'oid, Doichek Loima, Bekotan, She'higia Lechinuch, Kori, Enu Mechuyiv Midrabonon. Dem Enu Mechuyiv Afilu Midrabonon, Im Kein Enu Poiter Esoviv. He can't potter his father. At all. That's Tosfos. The Tosfos therefore says no. Tosfos learns that a cotton is chayiv. Once he ate a shear d'rabbanan, or a shear d'raisa for that matter, he's chayiv mid'rabbanan to do the mitzvah. That's how Tosfos learns. So, the question is, how does Rashi understand? How does it work? According to Rashi, how taka could a cotton be mitzvah anybody? He's a cotton. Does it make sense that he could be mitzvah? And the question is, does this also affect our core shaila as to how the cotton has to perform the mitzvah? This yudah was what you were trying to bring out. Meaning, if you hold, like Tosfos, that meaning that Chazal, when they established the Chi of Chinuch, they put it on the cotton as well. They put on the cotton a Chi of to do the mitzvah. So then, we could understand how he could be mitzi somebody else. We also can understand that it's very important that he does the mitzvah precisely when he's the way he would be chayiv to do it. Because he is chayiv to do it. But if it's only training, so train him. Train him. If you could train him a little bit, train him a little bit. Train him a little more. If it's just training, if it's not a real obligation, a chayiv mitzvah, so why do we scrutinize exactly to what extent he could do the mitzvah? There would be at least a makom to say that we don't. So this second question that I'm raising is actually a Ritva's Kasha in Maseches Sukkah in Hilni Amalka. And he actually gives a very profound teretz to this Kasha. Why are we so meticulous? We're more meticulous on the cotton than we are on a gadol. Because if a gadol came and he said, you know, he's a shtickle paralyzed and he can't shake the lulav, but he could pick it up, we say, chayav to pick it up and make a bracha. If you have a person that Nebuch can only pick up the lulav, he'd be chayiv to make a bracha on that lulav. Shake it shams as if it's Yvonne on a tilas lulav. And pick it up. So, it's only because he's a cotton that we're scrutinizing. We're actually more makpid on a cotton than we are on a gadol. And then the question is, how much do we scrutinize? Getting back to this brisker of, do we scrutinize only the structure of the mitzvah? Or do we scrutinize even the concept, l'moshel? You take a lulav and esrog, you give it to a boy who's not bar mitzvah. The Gemara says you have a problem the first day of Sukkah. If you give it to him, he can't give it back to you. So you have a problem. So what's the etzah? Either the etzah is you buy him his own set. Or what you could do is you're already yotzeh, and then you give it to him. And then you don't need lochem anymore. But that's also not so pashut. That's a machloikas. Some rishonim hold the second day you don't need lochem. If you hold the second day needs lochem, you have a problem. The other eitz is, give him the lulav and esrog and don't be maknitin. So the Shulchan Aruch, surprisingly, gives us this eitz. The Shulchan Aruch says, you can hold the lulav with him, give him the lulav, you still have in mind that it's staying by you in your domain, and let him do the mitzvah. And the obvious question is, but then it's not chinuch, because it's not lochem. So the cotton is not being yetzer. But the difference between that and the cases we have over here is what's lacking is not structural. What's lacking is conceptual. In other words, if I gave him a lulav, that's not four tfachim, it's three tfachim, I'm lacking in the ma'aseh mitzvah. He doesn't have the ma'aseh mitzvah. If I give him a lulav that everything is complete, the ma'aseh mitzvah is there, it happens to be, it doesn't belong to him, and he doesn't even know what it belonging to him means, so what's the problem? So here, clearly you would divide it and say, well, it depends. If it's a mitzvah for the father training him, then you could say, no, we're not trying to get a lulav point. We're not trying to get b'yotze mitzvahs lulav. We're trying to get a perfect chinuch. So we are. The kid is getting a perfect chinuch. He doesn't know that his father was makdit him. He wasn't makdit him. There's no idea. He's picking up a perfect lulav with a perfect esrik, and he's doing the mitzvah, the ma'aseh mitzvah. But if you learn that the chiyuv chinuch is on him, that means that he now has a chiyuv to shake lulav. Now you could say, well, if it's not lochem, he's not doing the mitzvah. That's on chiyuv al karkafta the gav. He's not doing the mitzvah. Doesn't work. So that would be a case with now. By the fact that the Shulchan Aruch gives that solution, it would appear that the Shulchan Aruch agrees you don't give a katan a pasul lulav and esrik, because then you're not even training him properly. That's a chesaron in the training. But here, where the training is nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with the actual training. The problem is that he doesn't own it. Klapi Shmaya, he doesn't own it. It's obvious that that's where the Shulchan Aruch made the line. Because Shulchan Aruch doesn't give an etzer to give the katan a pasul lulav and esrik. That's not a solution. So obviously you find this distinction. The question is, how do we understand, if you learn the way we're coming out, that seems the Shulchan Aruch is really learning like Rashi. Right? The Rambam, I asked you to look up, the Rambam really is, there are a lot of diukim in the Rambam in all directions. It's unclear what the Shitas of Rambam is. See, in Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam says, Noshim avodim uktanim pturim in HaSukkah. Cotton Shane Sorach Limoy, Shuke Ben Chomesh, Woke Ben Sheish, Chayov Basuka. Midivre Seif. He's Chayiv in Sukkah, Kedei Lachan Choy Ben Mitzvahs. He's Chayiv in Sukkah, Kedei Lachan Choy Ben Mitzvahs. So it's interesting. What I see from this Rambam is almost two contradictory Lashanis. Kedei Lachan Choy is on the other person. Kedei Lachan Choy is, we are Chayiv to be Machanach the Cotton. And Chayiv sounds like he's Chayiv. So it's almost like if I wanted to be Medayik in the Rambam, I could say that the Rambam is Meduyik both ways. Both ways. And in Hilchos Chometz U'Matzah that I mentioned to you earlier, there the Rambam says clearly, once the cotton knows how to eat, Machilin Oseh. We have a mitzvah to give him to eat. And then there's other Lashonis in the Rambam. Throughout the Sefer, in Bichas HaMozen, there's a Lashon HaRambam. He says, Bamed Vom Amorim, he says that a cotton could make a Bichas HaMozen for his father. She Yotzu Yidei Chavosim, Bizman She'ochlu V'loi Sovu, She'im Chayovim Levorech Midivrei Seferim, Ulefikach, Motsim Osam Koton O Eved O Isha Midei Chavosim. Avol im ochal v'soveishin is chayiv v'birchus hamozim min ha-toyro, ein ishoi koton o'yevet motziyin oise. Why? Shekol ha-chayiv b'dovor min ha-toyro, ein e'oitzi motzi oise midech ha-vosoi, elo ha-chayiv b'oisei dovor min ha-toyro kem oisei. So the Rambam is very explicit that the koton is chayiv, mid-rabon. He says the reason why he could be motzi you is because by Rabbanan he's chayiv, and the reason why he can't be yotzi midoraisa is because he's not chayiv min ha-toyre k'moisai. But the Rambam is clearly saying that a kotn shigir l'chinuch is chayiv. Clearly. Cotton doesn't have to do anything. I have to do something. I have to do this. I'm chayiv in shvisas behema. I'm chayiv that my animal should rest on Shabbos. Lahavdol, I would say a cotton is very similar according to Rashi Shita. Does the animal have a chayiv to be a shem on Shabbos? Absolutely not. The animal's a subject of my obligation. Right?
The animal has no part in this.
What do you mean has no part? The animal must be shem on Shabbos. So now you're saying something else. But so now you're dancing around a little bit. Now you're saying that really Rashi agrees to Tosfos. Agrees to Tosfos. Does Rashi hold, does the cotton have an obligation? Okay, so then you're going back to that thing. Rashi says that loyal Rama. You're saying, yes, I'll Rama. I think what you're saying clearly is Tosfos sheet. Clearly, without a doubt. Right, I mean, I want to make something clear. I don't believe that anybody could argue with Rashi. Meaning, I hold Tosfos has to hold like Rashi too. Tosfos cannot hold that the father has no obligation. There's black and white gemaras that say klar that the father has to be mechanech the son of mitzvahs. Tosfos can't argue with that. I think what Tosfos is saying is that besides for that, the kotn has a chiv. As part of this package, the kotn has a chiv. Listen, if the kotn has a chiv, so he has a chiv. So that's the shayla. So now I'll ask you a philosophical question, which Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks. It's more of a philosophical question. Rabbi Chanan asks a kasha like this. He says, I don't understand how it could be a chiv on the kotn at all. How could anybody hold the kotn as chayv? He says, the kotn is not chayv in mitzvahs. So who's obligating him to listen to the chachomim? In other words, the Gemara says, why do we have to listen to the chachomim? Because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to the chachomim. The Torah gave us a dictate. Listen to the chachomim. But the kotn is potter from that dictate. You know what I'm saying? The kotn, if you had a lomdusha kotn, you tell the kotn, listen, you're mechuyev to do it. He says, what are you mechuyev to do? I'm not mechuyev. I'm telling you. Yeah, but I don't have to listen to you. A lomdusha kotn really is a very problematic kotn. Don't mean, you got to listen because I said so. I'm not mechuyev to listen to you. Let's keep it avayim, but I'm not chayev in keep it avayim. Yeah, but the Torah is talking to you. The Torah is not talking to me. So why do I have a chiyuv to listen to the Chachamim? The Bochanan in the Kovitz Mamorim, he asked this question. He says, I don't understand how a kotn could be chayiv at all in mitzvahs. At all, it's not shayich. He says, see, he makes an analogy that we find these things. L'moshel, we find Moshe Rabbeinu added a day to Matan Torah. By the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu added a day, what right did he have to add a day? The Torah wasn't, we weren't chayiv yet to listen to the Torah. Why were we chayiv to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu adding a day? This is like the question of, why? We say you have to keep the whole Torah because you're mushpavayim at Me'ar Sinai. Yeah, but that first shvua, we spoke about this, Shad. Who was chayiv me to keep the first shvua? Shvua is also part of the Torah. So he says like this. He says, those who hold that a kotn himself is chayiv, for loy kimoy shekos of Rashi, shechayvose aloviv. He says, what's going on? He says, Yeshloima, the kol ma shetzivu chachomim, hu rotzon Hashem. That's rotzon Hashem. The dover ze lasis ritzoyna yizborach, kol boy oyla mitzuvim voim de mitchilus briyosa. Lasa is with saying koinim. And that's a pasuk in Tanakh called Poyel Hashem Lamanei. It's like a philosophical approach. He says, every person has to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. Really, all men are alike. Grade, Klal Yisrael, have Tayag, and Isha is potter from certain things. Hashem revealed in the Torah that his Ratzon is that the Chachamim should be listened to. So now that's his Ratzon. So now if the Chachamim tell you something, that's the Ratzon Hashem. So now we tell the Kotan, you have an obligation to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. Yeah, but who says I'm obligated to fulfill Ratzon Hashem? So we tell him, Rabbi Chanan Vassim says so. You have a chiv to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. So it seems like one of those questions that they can't get answered, really. In other words, you keep on going up and say, I'm potter. So I was never obligated to do that. So I think that it's not shayach b'chlal to learn that the father has no obligation. That it's not conceivable to say that the father has no obligation. It doesn't make sense. So the shayla is, avada Tosfos agrees to Rashi in that regard. So where exactly is the is the element of machlokes. So I think that we could say really very simple what the approach is. And really, the way I would come out, there isn't really all that much of a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. There really isn't all that much. Really, a chiyuv katan is clearly a chinuch chiyuv. Chiyuv chinuch. And I would venture to say that taka, all the mitzvahs that a katan does are chinuch. Lulav, sukkah, b'chsamozen, whatever he's doing, if we had to go and credit that mitzvah, we're not crediting it as birchas hamazon. We're crediting it as chinuch. Because the cotton is part of birchas hamazon. And the father is part of birchas hamazon. The father is chayev to be mechanech his son to do birchas hamazon. So what is it? So the father has a chayev to train his son, to do the mitzvah. That's the father's obligation. Now, if the son wants to reject, he can. But he can't, the katan doesn't have a right to stop his father from being mechanechim because his father's mechuyev to be mechanechim. L'moshel, if the Torah says, we had a shaila 2 weeks ago, we discussed, if you're allowed to steal to save your life. Mechloikas rishanim, some rishanim hold to save your life. Mutu l'hatzal atzmei b'mom al chaver. So I walk into your house, I break open into your jewelry box, and I start pulling out your valuables. I break into your safe, and I start pulling out cash. And you say, what's going on? You try to stop. You can't stop. Why can't you stop me? Not because you have pikuach nefesh. Because maybe you don't have to use your money to save me. Maybe. Maybe you're not mechuyev. But I have a right to do it, so mamela, you can't stop me. You're talking nothing more than a subject of my obligation. But you can't stop me because I was just like Bezdin comes and chaps you. What do you have to do? Do you have a chiyuv to get skila? No. Does somebody who's Michal Shabbos b'mezid have a chiyuv to get skila? No. Does he have a chiyuv to bring himself to Bezdin to give himself skila? No. The guy says, you know what? I know Bezdin is after me. They want to give me skila. I'm taking the next flight out. I'm going to another country. I should never get skila. What's stopping him? It's a pasuk that says that he has to come to Bezdin to get skila. No, two Edom come to Bezdin. It's Bezdin's obligation to get a hold of him and to take do what they have to do. This is the Mishmar, you lock him up. If you can't give him the Misa now, you lock him up. Yeah. That's Bezdin's obligation. He therefore doesn't have a right to stop them because they have a right over him. So it's not that it's his obligation. He's a subject of their obligation. But because of that, he's lost his independence. He can't go to the Dagonim and say, I'm not letting you take me, because they say, what do you mean? We're mechuyev to take you. He says, but I'm not mechuyev. Doesn't matter. You're a subject of our obligation. And that itself gives us koyach over you. The fact that you're a subject of our obligation gives us a koyach over you. When the Chachomim came and they said that the father has a chiyuv to be mechanech his son, the son is not mechayev in the chinuch. But the son is subjected to the chiyuv chinuch. He's subjected to it. He can't stop his father from being mechanechim because his father has an obligation. See, he lost his right to say, I don't want you to be mechanechim. See, even if I'm not mechayim a mitzvah, b'shas ma'isa, I'm the katan is not being mechayim a mitzvah, he doesn't have an ability in halacha to stop the father from being mechanechim because the other rabbi, the father put, the rabbonin put the father in charge of the son. See, he doesn't have the right. Like anything, I buy an eved, right? Does an eved have a chiyuv to work for me? No. But I bought the rights to force the eved to work. So he does not have independence now to say, well, one second, you're the oven, but I don't have a chiyuv to listen to you. I'm overly significant. I want to go for a walk now. What does the oven tell me? What lav am I over? What lav am I over? You bought me as an Eved. I'm an Eved Kanani. Okay, I'm going for a walk now. I'm jogging. I want to jog 3 hours a day and stay healthy. I want to jog 3 hours a day. So I don't want you to. You have to work for me. He says, no. So he doesn't have a chiyuv. There's no Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Avodim. It's a Shulchan Aruch that says the master has a koyach over the Eved. The Eved now is subjected to the bias of the Odin. He doesn't have an ability to stop him because he's Bishus Achir. The Torah went and took the cotton. And Lagabi mitzvahs put in Bishuz Aviv. So the father now, the son is subjected to chinuch. You try. You should make it as if you want to be a good mechanech, you should make it as pleasant as possible. But the fact is that the son is subjected to the chinuch of the father. That's how Rashi teaches. Now, so if that's the case, so Taka, we go back to our first question. So if the cotton really doesn't have his own independent obligation, he just has the obligation of the father. And the reason why the Rambam and other Rishonim keep on dancing back and forth is because they're dealing with the consequences. In other words, once the father is chayiv in chinuch, the son is also forced, is obligated, not his own obligation. Just like an eved is chayiv to work for his master because the master has the right over him, the katan is subjected. He's also chayiv. He's not chayiv out of his own obligation. He's chayiv because he's subjected to that. We're all avdei Hashem, we're subjected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So how Taka could he be Moitzi a gadol? Taka doesn't make sense. What's Taka Pshat? How could a katan be Moitzi a gadol? So I want to tell you a very simple thought. Pashat Pshat. I think it's Pashat Pshat. You could say it's like this. Once the Chachom and Mechai of the katan, the gadol, to be Mechanach the son. So now, these words of the Birchas HaMozen, or the Kriyas Megillah, have to be said. They have to be said. And therefore, when they're being read to be Mekayim and Mitzvot Chachom. Okay? When you hear those words, you're being Yaitse with Shemei Koin. Right? You're being Yaitse because you're saying those words. But, if the Chachamim wouldn't have obligated that those words to be said, those words would be like nothing. It'd be like French. They're not words of reading of the Megillah. But once the Chachamim were mechayev this Megillah to be read via the Father, so now those words are words of reading the Megillah. Now, once those words are words of Megillah being read, I don't need the cotton to be moitzi me, because I'm yaitzi shemei koin. And that's why you only find that the cotton could be moitzi by those kind of mitzvahs. A mitzvah which is shemei koin, a cotton can't be. Why can't a cotton be a shliach by a mitzvah the rabbanon? We don't find anywhere that could happen. Let's say truma b'zman hazeh the rabbanon, right? Why don't we find anywhere in Shas that b'zman hazeh you can make a shliach a cotton? He should be mafis truma for you. You know why? Because he's not chayiv in truma. He's not chayiv in truma. He can't be shliach to be, but he is chayiv in truma. It's chinuch. That's not his obligation. So he can't do it, because there the kohen the katan independently has to do the mice on my behalf. Doesn't work. By kriyas megillah, by brichas hamazon, any mitzvah which is shemei kohen, I'm being yaitzah because I'm saying those words. Elamai, if the Torah wasn't machshav those words as words of Megillah at all, so then I didn't hear words of Megillah. Not that I'm lacking in the chiv of the one who's saying it, I'm lacking in the fact that it's a shame mikra Megillah at all. Now that the Chachamim obligated that those words should be read, so now I could be yitzah with those words al shemei kainah, because I'm hearing the words. I don't need the cotton to patter me on my obligation. I just need the cotton to say words. That those words can count as words, and now I can absorb them on my level. Now, on a deraisa level, his words are nothing. Because on deraisa, there's no obligation for him to bench. So if I'm chayv and brichas hamazon with deraisa, on that level, the words are not being uttered. These words are being said on a derabbanan level, not on a deraisa level. So what I heard then was, I heard words that are not significant on a deraisa level, not yoytze. But once the words are significant mit rabbonin, now I'm yoytze with shemei koin. Mashenkin, any mitzvah, like I said, I would require the cotton to do for me, that would not work. That would not be shy. It won't be in the parish. This is really going to need, I didn't realize how late it was, it's going to need another week. So we'll go through the whole sugya. But the main point I want to come away with this week is that clearly the chiv of the cotton is not something that stems from the cotton. It stems from the father. The father and mother and or mother have a chiyuv to be mechanech their son. Based on that chiyuv that the father and mother have to be mechanech their son, so now the son is subjected to that. His chiyuv is that he doesn't have the right to walk away, because they're just like any chiyuv. There's hundreds of such chiyuvim where other people are chayiv on you. Now you're subjected to that. You're subjected to that chiyuv that they have. A ger toishev is like that. Rashi holds that a ger toishev is chayiv in shmirah Shabbos. It's Rashi shita. It's not his shmirah Shabbos, it's our shmirah Shabbos. By him living by us, he's subjected to our Shabbos. It's not his own obligation. They ask Akasha, what do you mean? The ger toishev is only mekabel sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. He doesn't have Shabbos. So how could Rashi hold that way? The Teretz says, no. The ger toishev, by living in Eretz Yisrael, he's subjected to us. And we are chayiv that he should not do malach on Shabbos. So now, it's not his own obligation. He only has sheva mitzvahs. But his citizenship subjects him to us. So now he has to do it as such. So anytime you'd need an independent obligation, it won't work. A ger toishev can't be mitzvah you on Kiddush. Right? He himself doesn't have a chiv, any kind of chiv deraisa to say make Kiddush. He's not chayiv in Shabbos, be'etzim, als himself. But he's forced to keep Shabbos. And that's what the cotton is. The cotton is subjected to the chiv chinuch that the parents have. And that would therefore would only allow him to be mitzi us in a mitzvah which is generic. By Shema Kohen, it's generic. All I need is his words. I'm being yitz. It's my obligation. I'm being yitz. I'm saying the words. All I need is that these words were uttered either on a deraisa level, if it's a mitzvah deraisa, or on a drabbana level, if it was the rabbana. And once the cotton is subjected to say these words, so now I'm a drabbana, and these words have a shame that they were uttered. Now I'm being yetzer with Shemei Kohen. And as we go on, we'll see Rashi and Tosfos are going to really meet. It's going to be mamish kemat the same sheet that Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, lava le ramya, he just means it's not stemming from them. It's lava layu ramya, the mitzvah wasn't placed on the cotton. The mitzvah was placed on the girdle. Rashi doesn't say that the cotton doesn't have consequences. He's because of that mitzvah, that's ramya on the father. Rashi doesn't say that. It doesn't. This cotton is not subjected to it. Rashi just says, the chiyuv is on the father. That's where it's ramya. It was placed on the father. And now the cotton is subjected to that chiyuv that the father has. That's mitzvah ben alav. The father has a mitzvah to give a bris to his son. The son is the subject of that obligation. The son now gets a bris at 8 days old. The son doesn't have a daya. The son can't have an attorney represent him that it's a violation of his civil rights that he's being definitely infringed on. Right? Because since the father has a mitzvah to mal his son, so the son memela, based on the father's obligation, subjected to that fulfillment of that obligation that the father has. Son doesn't have his own independent right. And that applies, not that by his son, by any mitzvah in the Torah. Any mitzvah. If a husband has a mitzvah to have relations with his wife, so his wife is subjected to that mitzvah. She's subjected to that mitzvah, which ultimately is what happens. Mitzvah's oina. Mitzvah's oina is not a mitzvah on the woman, really. It's a mitzvah on the ish. And now, through that mitzvah's oina, the woman becomes subjected. It's really a mitzvah that starts off with the man, but the Gemara all over says that a woman is mishubedes loy. She's mishubedes. But it stems from the mitzvah's habal. Stems from the mitzvah that the husband has. The woman doesn't have a mitzvah's tashmish. The man has a mitzvah's tashmish. But that mitzvah's tashmish creates a consequence. And that's why I think I would say chinuch is an obligation which is on the parents, with consequences on the child. The child is subjected to the consequences of that obligation.